What is the mission of the agency? In your case, the SEC, it seems like people know what it is because you guys, fortunately or unfortunately, are in the news a lot. When I ask this question, I learn a lot about what you guys exactly do. So give me just a sense of what the mission is.
The mission of the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission is to protect investors, maintain fair and orderly and efficient capital markets, and facilitate capital formation. We strive to promote a market environment that is worthy of the public's trust and characterized by transparency and integrity. At the SEC, we continue to provide oversight both from a systems perspective as well as reporting through the Dodd-Frank reporting requirements and other rulemaking requirements that we have.
And we're going to definitely go down that path of Dodd-Frank in a little bit when we talk about your role as the Chief Information Officer. When it comes to the mission of SEC, you're the CIO. How do you support that broad mission?
As the CIO of the SEC, I am in charge of deploying and developing systems to support our technological infrastructure. As part of a recent study by the Boston Consulting Group, we at the SEC are in the process of transforming the way that we do business. This transformation we have entitled Working Smarter. And Working Smarter, we leverage analytical environments, data mining, and other high-tech capabilities in order to extend and make our workforce more efficient and effective.
So when you look at your role, are you an operations guy? Are you a strategy guy? Do you kind of have a foot in both doors?
I have a foot in both doors. I started primarily emphasizing the work on the infrastructure side and operations side, and we've made great strides at the SEC in the last year and a half in improving our infrastructure and the reliability of that infrastructure. So I spend much less time than I did when I first came into the agency. And most of my time now is spent on the strategy side, implementing new analytical systems and data warehouse that will improve the efficiency and operation of the SEC.
A lot of CIOs in your position, regulatory agency CIOs, they have to deal with both external customer and an internal customer. So sometimes I talk to CIOs, and they're strictly, I'll just work with internal customers. Someone else deals with the external ones. Where do you fit in that? Do you have to worry about the people who come to the SEC as customers, plus the people who run the finance, the procurement, the day-to-day operations?
I have both sets of customers. My internal customer base have to support systems for the enforcement, the investigation staff, and the back office staff, which would include human resources, finance, and other areas. I also spend a lot of my time managing the systems that interface with the public. We have two large systems, the EDGAR public filing system, which has about 21 million corporate filings on it, and we also support SEC.gov, which is one of the largest traffic sites in the U.S. for web interface, and that SEC.gov site is visited about 44 million times a day by outside parties.
That's incredible, 44 million times a day. We'll have to get into that when we talk maybe about your priorities, about how you're dealing with that traffic spike and the fact is that you're getting so much. Talk to me a little bit about your office. You know, how's it set up? How many federal employees do you have? How many contractors do you have? And what is your IT budget for 2012?
So my IT budget for 2012 is about $210 million. And we spend about $80 million for operations and maintenance. And then the rest of the money, the balance of the money, or $130 million, is spent on developing new projects, new systems, and capabilities within the SEC. My staffing level is currently 128 full-time equivalent employees. We have a very large contractor base, so our workload is balanced between about 14% federal employees versus 86% in the contracting space. And so it's a very large program that requires a lot of work and very concise and clear service level agreements in order that we maintain our contracting staff working in an efficient and effective manner.
That ratio is pretty deep. I mean, in terms of, you know, number of feds to number of contractors, a lot of CIOs I talk to want to get the number, that ratio is lower. Are you looking at that at all, or is that ratio, does it work for the SEC?
It has worked for the SEC. We would like to improve the employee ratio. We would like to bump that up just a little bit, but we are also leveraging the cloud, and we've moved a significant number of applications to the cloud, and we continue to do that. We look at when we purchase new capabilities, we develop in-house as a last resort, We look at off-the-shelf capabilities wherever possible, and we look at cloud applications as well wherever possible. We do not want to own and maintain our own capabilities because we don't have enough critical mass in order to be the best subject matter experts and best developers of a particular program. So we like to buy mainstream capabilities, and that gives us, it extends the life of the program and continues to derive capabilities as the product maker rolls out their overall strategy and product roadmap.
So it sounds like that a lot of your contractor support is not necessarily in-house contractor support, but you're looking at the people who, for instance, if you're putting an application in the cloud or are running that cloud application for you.
We have both. We have a considerable in-house staff. We our help desk support, our services, and our infrastructure is a large single contract, and then we have additional contracts for development of services and systems. Our data warehouse and data capability is managed by contractors as well.
And from your budget standpoint, I mean, that's a pretty good ratio too, in terms of $80 million on operations and maintenance and $130 million on development and modernization, the DME side, if you will. Have you been working very hard to kind of change that ratio? So it's not, so less money is being spent on O&M and more money is being spent on DME?
Yes, we are very concerned about the money that we spend for operations and maintenance, and we strive to reduce that. We cut about $15.5 million out of our operations and maintenance budget last year, and we have what we call spend-to-save projects, where we spend money in order to save our expense budget and manage that as tightly and carefully as possible. Every project that we have in the SEC undergoes a cost-benefit analysis, and when we take it to our investment boards and investment committees, we make sure that we've got a balance between our regulatory requirements as well as new investment and efficiencies and effectiveness of our staff and our workforce, as well as investing in technology that allows us to do more work without having any people touch it. An example of which is we've invested very heavily recently in a new e-discovery capability, and that capability is large. We intake the equivalent of the Capitol Rotunda every year in e-discovery requests, and having only 4,000 people at the Securities and Exchange Commission, it's hard for us to go through all of those documents, WAV files or video and voice files, and so it has to be done in an automated fashion. In addition, all the data that we intake also requires us to do things in an automated fashion, and we strive very hard to automate first and employ people where only necessary.
All right, I want to go back to that $15.5 million in cuts, but first we're going to take a break, and then we're going to jump into your priorities, which I think you give us a little bit of a highlight on. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Thomas Bayer, the Security and Exchange Commission's Chief Information Officer. Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Thomas Bayer, the Security and Exchange Commission's Chief Information Officer. Now, Thomas, before break, we're talking a lot about the makeup of your office, your budget. And one of the things you mentioned was you did cut about $15.5 million from that technology budget in 2011. Give me a sense of how you did that, because I think every CIO is facing that same challenge.
So we did a number of programs in order to reduce our costs. The most important thing and most impactful was we metriced everything. We automatically metriced at the health and well-being of our systems, and that allows us to anticipate problems, whether they be capacity-related problems or stress-related problems on the systems or the network, and we anticipate that reduces our costs and speeds the time in fixing those systems. It allowed us to reduce our primary information and infrastructure support services contract. We also have done a number of things in the data area in order to improve the way that we handle data. Reduced our costs from a data storage perspective. We have also reduced the cost of electricity in our data centers. We combined plugs and outlets, so a lot of nitty-gritty hard work in reducing our small dollar costs as well. We've eliminated the use of in-act BlackBerries and wireless devices. We've gone to double-sided printing wherever possible and other things. So we've sweat the large details and big savings spends as well as the small stuff. And that allows us to keep on track and keep within focus. Another item that we did is that we changed the way that we do our EDGAR interface. And so the filing public does not need to use a large modem bank, for example, and so we eliminated that. We've reduced help desk support costs through more automation and less outages. So we've been able to reduce our support costs in those ways as well.
Now that $15 million, it's a combination of cost avoidance and actual savings. And have you been able to take those savings of real dollars and put them into some projects?
Yes, it's real dollar savings from our operate and maintain budget and move it directly into our DME budget. And that allows us to spend more and invest more on new technology, more reliable technology. We, for example, we just deployed a new Windows 7 environment at the SEC, a SharePoint 2010 environment, in order to improve the way that the desktops work and information is routed within the SEC. The SEC budget, as you know, is offset by transaction fee. It's appropriated by Congress, but we charge our investors 2 cents per $1,000. And so, fortunately, fully funding the SEC does not increase the deficit. We're working with Congress for 2013 funding, and we hope to get increased funding, but saving money in our O&M budget guarantees that we have more money to spend in DME.
And let's talk about some of those priorities. You've already given us a few hints, the new e-discovery capability, for instance, the Windows 7 and SharePoint 2010 move. Are those two of your many priorities? It sounds like you got a lot going on.
We have a lot of priorities in the area of data analytics, data intake. We've transformed the desktop on the user platform, increasing our remote access capabilities, making it more reliable, and giving our end users more capabilities in order to ensure that if we have a snowstorm or if people want to work remotely, they're able to do that. We also are spending a significant amount of money in working smarter. And we focused on extending the resources that we have. We make them more efficient and more effective. And we try to improve our business efficiency and effectiveness by improving business process workflow. By improving the business process workflow, it makes our end users more efficient. And it also allows us to automate those processes in a more efficient and effective manner. We also are trying to leverage experts throughout the organization. We are deploying a new knowledge management system in order for us to leverage key experts within the SEC. Because we have so few staff, we need to leverage their expertise throughout the organization in order to improve the efficiencies of our associate staff.
All right, so a lot going on, and there's a lot to follow up on. Let me start with data analytics and intake. One of the things that you hear the next big area of technology is big data, the management of big data, applying analytics to big data. SEC probably, along with some of the agencies that deal with medical care, some of the agencies, other regulatory type agencies, probably takes in terabytes and terabytes of data. How are you applying data analytics to all that data?
We intake a lot of data. For e-discovery alone, our trial discovery documentation, we intake a huge amount, as we talked about. It's equivalent to the size of the Capitol Rotunda every year. We have 21 million filings on the EDGAR system, and our staff uses data from multiple sources every day. Every day we intake data from FINRA and from our other partners, and that data needs to be analyzed every day. There's a lot of email and voice correspondence that also has to be dealt with. The plan is to migrate our internal systems to an enterprise data warehouse that will facilitate collaboration across users, groups, and agencies. This will allow users to more efficiently search our data in order to uncover issues and problems that we need to work through. The standardization across the enterprise will also result in a significant cost savings. The standardization of a single database platform also sets the stage to build the data warehouse to maintain all the current and pertinent company-related data that the SEC collects. Finally, by utilizing commercially off-the-shelf and available analytics tools, the SEC will be able to build reports and predictive dashboards that unify our data from disparate data sources and present it in a single view, thus saving hours, days, and potentially months of research into multiple data sources. We are also leveraging data visualization wherever possible, and that allows us through a visual presentation of phone record data or other very nuanced data, show a jury or a prosecutor what has happened, the flow of information, and it's very powerful. As the saying goes, a picture says a thousand words, and through data visualization and leveraging that, that has allowed us to improve our capability in prosecuting insider trading cases and others.
So you talk about data warehouse, and people get to worry that there's this big massive data base somewhere in the sky. Or first question is it a cloud-based data warehouse, even a private cloud or a public cloud or a hybrid? And then the other, I guess, question is it built or what's the status of that project?
We're in the process of working on the data warehouse, and the RFP will be issued very soon. And we also currently leverage the cloud for some of our applications. We intake a lot of data into cloud-based applications for market data analytics, for example. We leverage the public cloud for that. And we also have data centers, which are both internal as well as an externally hosted data center. And so that would be considered a cloud-based solution. And going forward, we are issuing soon an RFP for data center services as well, and those will be both fully operated within the cloud.
All right, so a lot of RFPs coming. Don't blame me when you start getting calls from those vendors who are interested. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to hit upon some of those other priorities. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Thomas Bayer, the Security and Exchange Commission's Chief Information Officer. Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Thomas Bayer, the Security Exchange Commission's Chief Information Officer. Now, Thomas, before break, we were talking about your priorities. One of them was the idea of working smarter. That's, again, something that you hear a lot about. But that, I imagine, not just the idea of, okay, guys, let's be smarter as we work. This is a...
We are improving the way that our employees work through working smarter. It is a series of programs and projects in order to deploy systems and services that improve the efficiency and effectiveness of our staff. Instead of just outsourcing or cutting costs, we want to leverage the capabilities of our staff and make them more efficient and effective. By doing that, we can increase the oversight and throughput and capabilities of the SEC without dramatically increasing the size of the SEC. As part of the regulatory requirements of Dodd-Frank and other actions recently, we have significantly more work within the SEC, but our employee base has not increased in a corresponding fashion. So we have to get more out of that staff and employees in order to do that. How we do that is by leveraging analytical systems, quantitative models, statistical models, and other capabilities in order to identify risks. Through risk identification, we can refer cases to our Office of Investigations and Compliance, and they can investigate potential issues. We have introduced quantitative algorithms to look at, for example, hedge fund trading and profitability in order to make sure that we don't have a repeat of the Madoff issue. And so how we do that is through something which is called aberrational analytics, and it produces a list of outliers to performance. And this is peer-to-peer performance. And then our Office of Investigations and Compliance can then go look and see if there is an issue with that particular firm, for example. We also do the same thing from as we talked about within e-discovery, there's a huge amount of casework that has to be done in our enforcement division in order to improve the performance of our legal staff. We have also introduced workflow and thematic workflow across the organization. For example, we have a program which is called Hub, which leverages workflow across our attorney base, and it makes that attorney group much more efficient and effective. And so our Division of Enforcement has deployed a number of tools in order to improve their group's performance. In addition to that, the Office of Investigations and Compliance has deployed recently a national exam program, and again, they're using a standardized system with standardized templates of correspondence and a workflow which allows us to consistently and very efficiently investigate our registrants and self-regulated organizations.
So it sounds like there's a lot of very specific applications, software that is going into each of the different divisions of the SEC. How does that work? Do you have like an investment review board, or how does the process work? So someone comes to you and says, hey, I need this capability, and how do you ensure that there's not overlap somewhere else? Well, actually, so-and-so over here just asked for that same capability. How are you making sure that governance structure works?
So we have a comprehensive governance structure where every division and office within the Securities and Exchange Commission is represented, and we have an executive called a managing executive, which that particular individual is responsible for the deployment of technology, human capital, and expense management within the offices and division. They also bring to bear specific experts within their divisions in order to make sure that we are investing in a smartly and efficiently. And we also make sure that we vet across the board what projects and what software and other capabilities that we're purchasing. In addition to that, we are working very carefully with the divisions and offices through the creation of what we call division information officers. Those division information officers are essentially a division-based CIO, and that team reports to me, and they communicate across the board to make sure that there's no rework. When I came to the SEC, most systems were very stovepiped. Each division and office had created their own systems. Today, almost never do we deploy a system that only supports one office or division. Most of them, and in fact, in very rare instances, do we deploy a system that is stovepiped.
The other thing that occurred to me as you're kind of going through this is a lot of new systems, a lot of systems that may have been upgraded. Are you able to use commercial software, or are you having to have this built more customized?
We leverage off-the-shelf commercial software wherever possible. That's our first choice. And cloud-based applications are also our first choice because of the speed of deployment and development. We do some customization of these applications. We make them the look and feel more similar to an SEC application. We put our seal, graphics, and other things in order to make them look like an SEC system, but it's very minor and cosmetic changes in many cases. As a last resort, we provide development capability, and most of our development is actually modifying other commercial off-the-shelf programs, whether it be standardized workflow or desktop applications, and that's where the development comes into play. And only in rare instances do we do specialized development.
Can you give me an idea? Are you 20% in the cloud, 50% in the cloud when it comes to some of those mission-critical applications, or is it really just in the beginning stages and the end goal is, you know, to get to the cloud eventually?
One of our data centers is in the cloud today. We are, through our soon-to-be-released RFP, both data centers will be in the cloud. And so all of our applications technically at that point will be in the cloud. But we also leverage individual vendors and their cloud-based applications as well. And so we intake a huge amount of data into cloud-based applications, and we leverage that wherever possible.
All right. Well, we are almost out of time. Before I let you go, I'd like to talk a little bit about your background a little bit. Now, you've been the CIO at the Security and Exchange Commission for about 18 months, but this is actually your first job in government. How's that transition gone?
Well, I've really enjoyed my time at the SEC. It's been wonderful. It's been a great challenge, and it's just wonderful to work with the people at the SEC. On the negative side, the one thing that has been difficult in the transition is procurements. Federal procurements take a long time. They're difficult, and they're very tedious work. And in the private sector, we could purchase things and deploy capabilities much faster than we can within the federal workplace.
Can you give me just a little bit of backstory? How did you end up at the SEC?
I was recruited to come to the SEC, and it was something that I very much wanted to do because of the financial crisis. Having come out of financial services and witnessed the devastation that occurred in the financial meltdown and seeing what I saw to the hits to the financial credibility of financial services companies, and also having worked side by side with a number of people that lost their jobs and life savings as a result of the financial crisis, I felt it was important to me to come to help the federal government and in particular the SEC to recover the financial integrity of the markets and also the financial services.